Well, first of all, Lord's Prayer has the phrase, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." The question this morning is, that I have for you is, are we forgiven? And based on that verse, that depends on how we forgive others. The title I would have for the message is, "Forgive us our debts," with the implication that we need to forgive others. That's not an unfamiliar subject, or one I've spoken on this before. But I need the reminder, and I think as human nature goes, we all need the reminder. Forgiveness is a remarkable thing that God has given us, and it's something that we need to that we're challenged on, and we need to exercise to other people. It's expressed a number of times in the Bible, quite a number of times, and especially some very deep ones. Stephen, as he was being stoned, his words were to forgive those that were stoning him. Father, forgive them. Same as Jesus did when he was upon the cross. Father, forgive them for what they've done, for they know not what they've done. Forgiveness is giving up, a definition of forgiveness is to give up the wish to punish or get even with. Giving up the wish, many times we don't have the opportunity to take out upon others what we feel would be right or just. But even just that wish to be able to punish them or to bring back on them what they've given us is wrong. To forgive, we give up that wish to punish or get even with. We excuse them. We remove the charge from their account. The opposite of forgiveness is bitterness. It ends up being bitterness, and it's bitterness in our hearts, and that can grow there and can live there for many, many years, for a long time. It becomes hatred toward another person, and divides relationships. It destroys relationships, and it is an evil growth in our life that can eventually destroy us if we allow that bitterness to grow there and we don't exercise forgiveness the way we should. We could ask if we hate other people. Well, we don't hate other people, and yet if we don't forgive them, it can grow into that, and it can become hatred sooner than we realize. All right, I want to turn to several passages. First of all, turn to Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll read the verses there that speak to that. Matthew 6, and I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Matthew 6, verse 12 through 15. "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." We're just breaking into the Lord's Prayer here. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And then he goes on and explains a bit. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The importance of it being in the Lord's Prayer there, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," is that is the way God looks at it. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, God watches us, and God sees how we relate to other people. And he sees how our relationships go, and if we hold things against others, He sees that. And he bases our salvation, our justification in his sight, upon the way we relate to others. It is that important. Moving on, we're familiar with the verse in John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Again, a related verse, but one we often think of. It's how we relate to other people is tied very directly to our relationship to God. And if we have a good relationship with God, we understand the Bible says we're going to have a good relationship with other people. And we won't have grudges against others. We won't have bitterness in our hearts against others. Someone has said that forgiving others doesn't make them right with God, but it does free us. In other words, we can't forgive others as they for their sin against God, but we can release the injustice toward us. We can release that and let the rest in God's hands. We do have a responsibility for our relationship to them. They have a responsibility to God, but we have the responsibility of how they relate to us. And if we're going to hold something against them, we know that God is a just God and a holy God, and he doesn't overlook sin. He requires men to repent and seek forgiveness to extend his forgiveness. And yet we need to extend forgiveness for what they've done to us, because we're not in that position. We have a different relationship with people than God does. And so we can forgive people even if they haven't found justification, if they haven't received salvation from God. We can still release them from anything that we have against them, for any wrong that they've done to us. Forgiving others makes it possible to receive forgiveness from God. The grounds for our forgiveness is in the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, our relationship to God depends on our forgiveness with him. That's a relationship that we're responsible for. We're not responsible for other people's relationship to God. Now, the second point would be God's forgiveness of us. The first one was why forgive? Why forgive? Because God, our salvation depends on it. And God watches how we forgive others to base our forgiveness from him. But the second point, God's forgiveness of us, is an example. God's example of forgiveness to us. To understand God's forgiveness to us, we need to understand how evil we were, what we were like in his sight. God is perfect holiness. God is defined as holiness. And sin is defined as being against God, or being against God and against his laws. Romans 3, 10 through 12 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We're mankind as a whole needs God's forgiveness and was sinful in his sight. One of the references I looked at was the account, as I was studying, was the account where the man with palsy was let down through the roof. Jesus hadn't seen him before, I don't believe. He didn't know Jesus. Jesus didn't know him. And he was lowered through the roof of that building, and his first words to the man was, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." How did he know he was a sinful man? How did he know that that's what the man needed? Well, that's what the position mankind is in. Without knowing or seeing man, he didn't have to do a counseling session with him to determine what his problem was. He knew man's problem is sin. And that's common to mankind. And, all right. In our relationship, some people are easier to forgive than others. Some, it seems like everything they do rubs us the wrong way, works against us. You know, they can't and the harder they, if they try to do something nice to us, it actually is even worse, because we just don't appreciate them. We just, that's the way it can work for us. But really, how were we before God? We were all sinners before Him, and Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If God is so holy and wants man to be perfect before Him, and man is that desperately wicked, God, for man to come before God takes a miracle. Takes a miracle. Romans 8, 7 and 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. No matter how hard man tries, he cannot be acceptable in God's sight. He can't earn his forgiveness, and he can't earn it in any way. Everything man does of himself is loathsome to God. Everything man does in himself actually makes that harder. Everything man does is counted as sin before God until he repents and receives God's forgiveness. But Jesus, God, reached down to man in that state. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And because of God's grace, we are forgiven. I'm just going through these things which we know very well, just to help us understand how great the repulsion was that God had as man was before God in his sinfulness and God's holiness, the great divide that was there. And compare that to our relationships with other people and the small things that seem to come between us, the small things that divide us, the small things that we can't stand, that seems so difficult for us to accept, how small those things seem compared to the great divide between man in his sinful state and God. But God has promised, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he's not a respecter of persons in any way. You know, it's just easier for us to forgive some people than others. And some people, it just seems like... But God, he's promised that if we come to him and confess our sins, he's going to forgive us. And it doesn't matter, you know, the color of our skin. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. It doesn't matter. God has promised that... The condition is to confess our sins and to seek him. And unconditionally, he will accept that and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is not biased in any way. Challenge for us to be the same. Again, that doesn't come natural for us. God is faithful to forgive us when we repent in that condition and he gives us the power to cleanse the sin from our lives. Jesus, God sent his son, Jesus, to save us from that awful state. That was the purpose that he came. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the reason Jesus came to this earth, was to reconcile that relationship between man and God, to bring them together, to help man find forgiveness and the relationship with God. That was the whole purpose. And the second example that we'll see in Christ was the way he forgave the Jews. He forgave, well, specifically, he forgave many people. He forgave the two that were hanging on each side of him as he was on the cross. But he, more importantly, he forgave those that crucified him. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He was the supreme example of forgiving those who took his life and who wronged him even to the point of death. Now, turn to Genesis 37 For the third point, how do we forgive others? Just a couple pointers on how we forgive others. And I want to read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll jump down a bit. Genesis 37, 1 through 4. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was, a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And we know the story about how he went down then in verse 12. His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel sent Joseph to see how it went with them, and they saw him coming, his brothers saw him coming, and conspired what to do with him. Verse 23, it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. And also, like 32, they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, after that, they had dipped the coat in blood. In verse 31, they took it to their father and showed it to him and asked him if it was his. And Joseph, we know, if Joseph's heart was fixed on that coat, if that coat was important to him, was, and it probably was special to him, but at some point in time between there and when he was down and his brothers came to see him, came down to buy corn, and he spoke those kind words to them and expressed his forgiveness to them, his heart wasn't on the material things. His heart wasn't on that coat. His heart wasn't on his own prosperity. But in it all, he saw God's hand moving. And if his heart was fixed on the coat, he learned fast. And he learned that that wasn't the most important thing. If our heart is fixed on temporal things, we will not be able to forgive when someone touches those things. It's so easy for us to become, to have our focus on the things that we have and the rights that we think we have, and the respect that we think other people owe us. And when that is touched, then we are offended. If we can somehow, we have too high a focus on many of those things. If we have too high a focus on many of those things, it makes it difficult for us to forgive. Get the same account from Luke chapter 12, same lesson from Luke chapter 12, 13 to 15. I'll just read it. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. This man was having a problem forgiving his brother because they were having squabbles over the inheritance. A common thing, a common problem. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Your focus is on the things that you have, and it should be on God. The things we have will pass away. Man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. we realize that these things are for time, or for a short time, it'll make it a lot easier for us to forgive. The Apostle Paul obviously saw that, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The Apostle Paul gave up, in his mind at least, those things that he had, and in many ways, probably in a practical way, he gave them up, so that he could win Christ. And it was because of that that he could be effective for Christ and was very effective and useful in going around and speaking and helping others. Jumping back to the account of Joseph, I want to turn just to Genesis. Well, we don't need to turn there, but Genesis 45. Verses 5 through 9 and chapter 50, verse 20. We know the way that Joseph said that it was God that brought him there. It was God that had moved, and God had brought him there for a purpose and for a reason. And he actually viewed his brethren as an agent in God's hand, that it worked out God's will, and it sent him there so that he could be there to fulfill God's mission. So he actually saw that those people that were offending him, those people that were harming him, those people that were taking his things as God's agent, working God's will. If we can see the people that are around us, that are irking us, that are damaging our things, that are taking our rights away, if we can see them as God's agent, working in us to perfect us and to make us more like Him, to perfect a forgiving spirit in us, perfect an humble spirit in us, to make us more like Him. If we can see it that way, be a tremendous help in allowing us to forgive. If Joseph hadn't forgiven his brothers long ago, his love would not have been so apparent. Joseph's character was much different from most world leaders. Number one, faith in God was evident. And in those passages, those verses, he mentioned God four different times. He saw that it was God's hand that did it. God was there and God was moving, and it was God's purpose that was being accomplished. And he recognized that and he accepted that it was God, even though all he saw was his brothers and they mishandled him and mistreated him so drastically and thought they were destroying him. And yet he saw it as God's hand. The account from Job, when Job was there and all his things were destroyed, it was done by different, many of the things he lost were at the hand of other men. Some of them were by natural disasters, but many of them were by natural man. But again, Job saw that it was God's hand moving. In Job chapter 1, 20 and 21, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" It wasn't the evil men that had come and had taken away, it was God. God had given and God took away. And he accepted that it was God's hand in it, even though it was evil men that had done those things to him. Through Job's loss, he didn't view people as taking his things. He realized that God did it. And one last example from that would be David, when Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, was cursing him. And the advice David got was to go over and allow someone to kill him. The king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah?" Okay, I'm sorry. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, was the one offering the advice. There was another man over on the other side cursing him. And he said, the king said to Zariah, to Abishai, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" If we can see God behind the offenses that come our way, the offenses that God allows to come to us are for our good. And if we can see that, if we can accept that, they will make us better, not bitter. Now, another help for us in forgiving is to focus on the magnitude of Christ's forgiveness. If we realize the way God forgave us for all that we had done, when people offend us in one or two different ways, we're so quick to hold it against them, to not release them, not forgive them. But let's turn to Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto you, until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him for the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Very pointed direction of what will happen to us if we are not careful to forgive other people. The different amounts there, well, it was obviously a very different scale. The first man owed a large sum to his Lord, and the second man owed a much smaller sum. And the difference there was so out of proportion for him to demand, for the second man to demand that payment be made when he had been forgiven such a large sum, seems to us very unjust, and is very unjust. But how much more is it with what God has forgiven us versus the little things that other people do to us? How drastic a contrast is between those things. Another thing that helps us to forgive others, closely related to seeing God in them, in the injustice to us, would be actually to thank God for the offense. And many times, the only way we can be thankful for it is if we see God in it. And I just want to turn to it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's just 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is just a simple verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just thinking about the different things that the Apostle Paul had gone through, and for him to give a statement like this after he had been imprisoned unjustly, after he had been beaten, after he had been stoned, after all the different things that had happened to him, for him to say this: in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did he really mean that? He hadn't had an easy life. And if he got to the point where he said, in everything give thanks, did it include those times? But as he was sitting in prison, unjustly imprisoned, he was singing. It seems like he was giving thanks there. And we know the different times as he was being shipwrecked and all those times. He was mindful of God. And we can picture him giving thanks, finding things to give thanks to God for in those situations. But the only way that we can find, that we can be thankful in the midst of difficult situations is if we see God behind the actions against us, whether we tend to think of them as blessings to us or we tend to think of them as injustices against us. If we see God behind them, we can be thankful. Again, referring back to Job, his wife, in the midst of his difficulties, said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." She was saying, there's nothing there. Give up. And yet he believed God. And the way that before his children died, he had gone and offered sacrifices for each of them, indicates that he wasn't taking his blessings for granted. And I believe that helped him when he faced those trials to see God also. And I can picture him as being a thankful person. He was thankful and saw God in the circumstances before he experienced extreme trial. And he saw God in his trials. And I believe he was mindful, and he realized God was in them. And he realized that God had a purpose and a point in it for him as he worked through that. He was human, and he may not have understood that fully the whole way through. But as he got through, we understand that he definitely saw and understood God's hand moving in his life. Lamentation 3:22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning, what we have because God has blessed us. God has given us life and kept us alive through the night. We have things to be thankful for every day, no matter what our circumstances are. As we are thankful for what we have, if we're unforgiving when things we don't deserve are taken away, we can be thankful for what we have, or if we realize that the things that are taken away weren't ours, were given to us in the first place. If we realize that the things we have were given to us, things are taken away, it doesn't leave us with an unforgiving spirit. It leaves us with a thankful spirit, and we're grateful for what we have. One last thing, if people wrong us, if others do injustice to us, if we can some way find a way to invest in their life or to give something to them, return good for evil, as the Bible says. Matthew 5:40-41, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. There's a key to forgiveness. To when we're done wrong, if we can do something kind back, it helps us to have the right attitudes that we should. Oftentimes we need to go beyond accepting the spoiling of our goods. We need to give something additional to have peace, to have peace in our hearts. Forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift that we have, that we can forgive other people and we can release them. We can unload our hearts and not have that bitterness in our lives. It's wonderful that we can find forgiveness for others, as we have found forgiveness with God, as we have found peace with Him. Most people who are bitter do not recognize it as such, but rather than admitting they're bitter, they simply say they've been hurt or disappointed or offended by another person. But they carry it with them, and they don't release it. They may even carry on good work with an attitude of bitterness behind it. An attitude that they're going to show the other person up by doing right things, or there some way that it can affect our attitudes and our motives for doing things. Finally, God says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Let's check our responses the next time we're offended and examine our hearts for bitterness. God help us to forgive as we should. Let's pray.